Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So glad to be with you this morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. I want to give a shout out also to our online campus, Pastor Dana. Amen. Again, I'm so glad to be here. Let me say this. I want to give a shout out to my mother who's not here. She's 87 years old. Just got over COVID. God restored her, touched her, healed her. Amen to that. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to my mother-in-law also. See, the two of them think I walk on water. But I say Happy Mother's Day to my wife, too, because she knows I don't walk on water. She's the reality. Again, thank God for being in the house of the Lord. We're going to go right to the scriptures here. I know you've had a good time here. The presence of the Lord is here. I know he's here. Amen? Okay, we're going to speak from Galatians, the fifth chapter. Brother, you can just stay there. Stay there with me just a little bit. Okay, that's fine. Somebody stay with me. Galatians 5, 16 and 17, and then we're going to scoot down to 25. And we're continuing in our series. It's the third in the Pentecost series, Rivers of Living Water. Say that. Rivers of Living Water. This morning, you can talk back to me. I'm Baptist-costal. I like you to talk back to me. Amen. It's okay. It's not unseemly. Amen. Okay, we're going to read, start. But I say walk by the Spirit. Walk is the present, active, imperative verb, perepto, which means to progress. That word work means to progress, a walk, means to progress or mature in daily living with the aid of the Holy Spirit. And then Paul saying, if you do that, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh if you walk in the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. 17, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. And then he goes on to list the fruit of the Spirit between there in the works of the flesh. And Pastor Joel taught on that last week, I believe. And then here in 25, it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. New Living Translation, got to read this. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. That's pretty direct, isn't it? The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. And then he says in 25, since we are living by the Spirit, in the New Living Translation, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Now, this morning, I will share ways that as believers, we are called to partner, say that, partner, with the Holy Spirit in order to exhibit Christ-like behavior in daily living. Thank you, brother. You can still stay there, but we'll pick up in a few minutes. The Holy Spirit was not sent to do life for us. Say, look to your neighbor, say, I'm not a robot. But to engage life with and through us, he did not come to take over our minds, Pastor Wayne. He did not come to take over our will, but he came so as we yield, as we submit our will and our desires to him, he would partner with us so we will exemplify those things that are pleasing to God. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Now, we can be saved, church, and even Spirit-filled, but not fully aware of how to do life with the Spirit. You agree with that? Saved, Spirit-filled, and still we have to grow in our capacity to allow the Spirit to lead us. Now, I grew up Baptist-costal. I was a Baptist by day and Pentecostal by night. Baptist by day, Pentecostal by night. Brother, I can remember in 1975, I had been saved for a year, went to this Kojic church in Southampton, New York, small Kojic church down the road from me. And I can remember they had what is called tarrying service. Any Pentecostals here know what that is? Yeah. A tarrying service. They used to, this old-time Pentecostal. Okay? I went to a tarrying service. And I never forget, you know, I was earnest. I was a young man, was passionate for God and was pursuing God. And I wanted this infilling of the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And after the prayer was about an hour and a half, 2 hours. Then the tarrying service. Hey, the tarrying service is on the heels of a two-hour prayer service. Oh, was that prayer service hot? The worship was hot. The intercession was hot. The declarations were powerful. Oh, my God. The tongues were going up. Then those who wanted to be filled, they stepped up. And they got in front in the altar, and the saints would gather around us, and one would be declaring, another one would be speaking in tongues, and they was coaching us. And I'm going to tell you, you can say what you want. You can call it unseemly. You can call it unbiblical. I know that day, however, I experienced a move of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The presence of God filled that place, and the Holy Spirit made sense of what people would call chaos. And he visited us that night. And it changed my life. It changed my walk. It changed my talk. It changed my desires. That one day changed my life. I was saved before then, but when I was filled, things I used to do, I didn't want to do them anymore. Places I used to go, as the song said, I didn't want to go to those places anymore. My point is this, however, I remember still, I didn't really learn how to walk in the Spirit, again, in a mature way, until the late 80s, when I took a class at Buffalo School of the Bible. It was an affiliate of Elam Bible Institute in New York. And boy, was my eyes open as I began to study the works of the Spirit, the mission of the Spirit, the purpose of the Spirit. And then I added knowledge to prayer and intercession, and the Lord giving me revelation. And then I began to learn how to hear the voice of the Spirit. So I learned that the being filled with the Spirit is more than speaking in tongues. Let me say that again. It's more than speaking in tongues. It's learning how to yield ourselves, yield our members, yield our desires to the Spirit that we might mature and grow in Christ's likeness. Brother, may I have some water? Now, in the book of Acts 1:4, Jesus commanded his followers not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait. Say that with me. Wait. Come on, wait. For the gift the Father had promised. Now, this waiting was a significant inflection point. It was a turning point. It was a tipping point for his followers. You see, his death on the cross and his resurrection 3 days later was a fulfillment of God's divine plan to redeem man back to himself. Now, church, let me pause. That was a big deal. When Jesus died on the cross, got in the grave, was raised, that was a big deal, church. We read that in kind of his passé. Oh, yeah, that's good, that's nice. But think about it. 4,000 years, roughly 4,000 years had passed between the first Adam and the second Adam, Jesus. Okay? And for them, this was the first group that could sing, I'm saved by his power divine. I'm saved through his life. Sublime life now is sweet, and my joy is complete. For I'm saved, I am saved, I am saved. Hallelujah! The first church that could sing that song, and we're still singing it today. Amen. I'm saved by his power divine. However, there was something else. See, the cross settled the sin issue. But there's something more that Jesus had been telling them about way before it was time for him to ascend, in terms of preparing them for the coming of something else. It's not just salvation. I thank God for the cross. I thank God for the resurrection. But there's something else that the Father has promised to us. Amen. And without it, it's incomplete. And I'm not really interested in any theological debates. We need the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. There's no doubt about it. We need the Holy Spirit. I don't care if you're Baptist, if you're Methodist, if you're Catholic, if you're charismatic. I don't care what you are. We need the infilling, like now more than ever before in life. We need the Holy Ghost. We're going to talk a little bit about it. I'm going somewhere with this. I want to talk about life by the Spirit, but I got to just lay the groundwork. We got to appreciate the work of this great Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. So the cross settled the sin issue, but it was the Holy Spirit that empowered believers to live life here on earth. Sometimes we're trying to escape and say, I'll be glad when I leave here and go to heaven, and then I will be able to live like a Christian or live and act like Christ. Jesus said, no. I've made provision for you to live a Christ-like life right here in the earth realm. Provisions have been made, and you don't even have to do it by yourself. I've sent help for you. I've sent a guide. I've sent revelation for you. I've sent strength for you. I've sent courage for you in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're to live as Christ, as God intended for us to live from the very beginning. It started out right with Adam. They were communing. There was no sin. But Satan messed that up. 4,000 years later, the Lord said, I'm going to get my creation back. I'm going to have communion with my creation day and night, night and day, 24/7. Hallelujah. Worshiping me. My talking with them and walking with them and they're talking with me. You see, that relationship is what he was after. That's why it's a point of great celebration. So Holy Spirit was present when the heavens and the earth were made. Holy Spirit was there working with the prophets and the kings throughout the Old Testament. Holy Spirit was there when Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary. Holy Spirit was there. Again, see, I want us to see how he was there all the time with the Father and with the Son. Holy Spirit was there when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan. Holy Spirit was there when he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan. And then he didn't leave then. When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and was sweating, it was making preparation to go to the cross. Holy Spirit was there and said, we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this. We're going to get through this. He strengthened him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then he went to the cross and he hung high and he shed his blood for you. He shed his blood for me. Holy Spirit was there, but he didn't leave him there. He went with him in the grave. Hallelujah. But then he had to wait 3 days. But after the three days was up, it said the Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. He raised him from the dead. So then Jesus said, this same Holy Spirit, I'm praying to the Father. He's going to send to you, and he's not going to come upon you. He's going to live on the inside of you. Hallelujah. The first time that God would live inside a man. Hallelujah. That's a big deal, church. God is living on the inside of us. That's a big deal. And we just take it as a minor thing. Everywhere Kevin goes, Holy Spirit, God is there. Hallelujah. Every place the Spirit of God is living, who's God himself. The Spirit of the living God is living on the inside of us. That should make us excited. But then Jesus began to teach. He had taught them. He had given them instructions. He had told them what to expect. John 14, 16, Holy Spirit will be your paracletus, your advocate, your helper, your comforter, your guide, your counselor. He's going to teach you. Holy Spirit is going to guide you, and he's going to testify of me and me only. And I can just imagine Pastor Wayne, someone asked the question, how will we know when this Holy Spirit comes? We'll go and we'll stay in the upper room, but how will we know when he comes? And then the word of God said in Acts 1 and 8, but you will receive power, dunamis power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then you shall cast out devils and you shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But most importantly, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to be empowered to witness. And you know, one of the greatest ways that we can be a witness is to live in a pagan culture like Jesus Christ. Church, they hear our rhetoric. They hear our talk about this great God. But they're looking at our walk. The world should be saying, I want to be like those folks. I want to have a passion, that kind of passion that these folks have. I want to be able to love my enemies. And you talk about loving your enemies, what we have now, the splits in the church because of all this craziness, It's from the pit of hell. It's from Satan. He's coming to distract us, giving us causes that the cause become more important than being a witness for Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay. So what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? And I'm on skates now. To walk by the Spirit is to live moment by moment in dependency upon Him, sensitive to His voice in our life, and obedience to Him. All throughout that, we see submission. Say submission. Yield. Submission and yield. I want to talk about ways, very briefly, of how we can be intentional in doing life with the Spirit. Say that, doing life with the Spirit. Church, you know, you see, I'm excited. This is one of my most exciting topics, is the Holy Spirit. Because He's so real. Church, He's so real. He's so dynamic. There's nothing boring about the Christian life. Say that. There's nothing boring when you're partnering with the Holy Spirit. He's always doing something that baffles you and says, wow. Can you imagine in heaven when we get before Him? That's why the angels, 24-7, they're bowing down. They're seeing a new side of God. But here in the earth realm, as we walk with the Spirit, He wants to show us something different, something unique, something that we've never seen before. He wants us to experience life with Him. Amen. And act so the world would want what we have. Amen. Right now, I'm not sure they want what we have. Amen. But they will, because the Holy Spirit is going to straighten us up. Yes, He is. Say, yes, He is. Okay, real fast. The first way, broaden your knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Real fast. If you choose to do life with the Holy Spirit, it helps to grow your knowledge. You got to know who He is. What is His mission? What is His purpose? How does He speak? These are important questions that He wants to reveal to us. He wants to educate us. Amen? Amen. How do we do that? Bible study. In prayer. We do it listening to podcasts, study groups. There are some phenomenal books about the Holy Spirit. We immerse ourselves in learning. Say learning. Be a lifelong learner of the Holy Spirit. There are ways that the Spirit moves, and there are things that He will do that you've never seen before if you walk with Him. I had this young man tell me about his pastor, gave the testimony of, you know how he got saved? He was driving on the freeway and saw a license plate. And the license plate, what was on the license plate, convicted him. And he began to weep, and he had to pull over. That's the Holy Spirit at work. Again, He can do whatever He wants to do, how He wants to do it, and we don't have to understand it, church. But if we're open to His Spirit, we will be able to say, we will be able to know what's of the Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. And He's one who gives revelation. So when everyone is saying, no, God won't do that, God can't do that, He said, oh, yes, He will. Say, oh, yes, He will. Oh, yes. Now, what were the 120 doing in the upper room? The Bible said that they were praying. They took care of some business. They replaced one of the disciples. But there's something else I believe they did while they prayed and they worshiped. I believe they got into Bible studies. You can't do that without a Peter in a bunch. Peter was there. So you know he was saying, hey, Jesus told us this about the Holy Spirit. He revealed this about, what do you think He was saying? And I would imagine as they were talking and they were meditating on what Jesus had told them, their hearts began to stir. Any of you know what it means to be stirred by the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. You can't shake it, can you? Their hearts were stirred. And each day would pass, and by the 10th day, they were waiting with expectation and anticipation of this great Holy Spirit to come. And the Bible says that the power of God fell into place. Amen. And they began to speak in tongues. So much so they went out into the open market, and they said, they drunk. Oh, yeah, they were drunk, all right. And they were wobbling, but under the power of the Holy Spirit. Who would want to act like that? Somebody said, no, Lord, Holy Spirit, if you're going to do it, don't do it like that. Don't do it like that. Come on, we don't want to be unseemly here. Guess what? That way that you don't want Him to make you act, probably you're going to act that way. He's going to humble us. Amen. Amen. Number two, set your mind on things of the Spirit. The battle to walk in the Spirit, church, starts in the mind. starts in your thought life, starts in what you listen to, starts with what you read. Whatever you're educating your mind with, even your experiences, is feeding the mind. Your mindset, say mindset with me, will determine the trajectory of your life. It's your mind, your mindset, your focus. The mindset, speaking of focus, what are you focusing on daily? Whatever your focus is. And this is important. This is an important truth. Now, when you're driving down the road, you're supposed to keep your eyes on the road, right? Straight, not veer to the left or right. Guess what happens when you begin to look to the right or to the left? Slowly but surely, if you don't correct it, you don't even know it's happening. That's why the enemy brings distractions to us, to get us to begin to look to the right or to the left. But the Holy Spirit is there. Say, come on, stay with me. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. Say, keep your focus. Hey, don't let anyone take you off of the right focus and the right mindset. Here in today's lesson, in today's text, Paul reminds us, he says, the flesh sets its desires against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. They are in conflict to each other. But in Romans, he picks this theme up again. What happens, he talks about what happens when we sow to the flesh and spirit. And this is what the word of God says. Those who live according to the flesh have their mindset. Say mindset. And it is again, that mind. Set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the spirit have their mindset on what the spirit desires. So we're making choices every day in terms of what our mindset is. And then the mind governed by the flesh is death, Paul said, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. And then he goes on to tell us what we're to focus on. Set whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. Meditate on these things. Amen. Meditate on these things. So every day, we have a choice to determine, or choose what we're going to set our affections on, what we're going to set our mind to, because whatever it is we set it on, that's the direction we're going into. And the Holy Spirit is there. I love the Holy Spirit because sometimes he'll do things intentionally to keep us focused. I told the church there in Kempsville, I said the other morning, I woke up with a song. Some of you can relate to this. 4 o'clock in the morning, my spirit was singing. I was always singing. I love to sing. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How many know that song? Lord, I'm amazed by you. So again, this is early in the morning. See, while we're asleep, our spirit is communing with the Spirit of God. Amen. So I'm waking up. I'm saying, and I just, my soul just joined in. I said, oh, that's a nice one. I like that. But you see how the Holy Spirit helps us. I mean, it made my day. Not only that, I shared that song with my family, and I was singing that song and playing that song throughout the day, and it kept my mind set on loving God and the amazement of God, the greatness of God. A simple song that the Spirit would stir in me, set me for the day. Actually, it set me for a couple of days. Amen. Then I had to get a new song. No, I'm kidding. Okay, a mind governed by the Spirit always produces behavior that reflects the character of Christ. Let me say it again. The mind governed by the Spirit always produces behavior that reflects the character of Christ. Number three, submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit in prayer. Now, there are prayer agendas. We have a prayer agenda, and God, the Holy Spirit, they have a prayer agenda. God is not opposed to our prayer agenda. Because he said, come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find help in our time of need. And it doesn't matter what we bring to him, church. He's concerned about everything that concerns us. Let me say that again, everything. I make this point because as believers, everything we want to be kind of in the sky and spiritual and mystical, and it's not. God is concerned about our everyday practical walk with him. So much so, I'm going to share a testimony that I've shared before real fast. I can remember, church, my daughter, I was helping my daughter with a crossword puzzle. Some of you have heard it, crossword puzzle. She couldn't find one word, so she comes to daddy. How many of you know that when little girls have problems, you love it when they come to daddy? I know I do. I stick my chest out. My daughter comes to me. I've gotten calls at 1, 2 in the morning. She wants to talk to daddy. I said, yeah, baby, keep coming. Keep coming. She comes. She wants, I said, we can't find the word. I said, I didn't know the word. I felt a little a little ignorant, brother, but I didn't know the word. The word was aquatics, or aquatics. Again, it just wasn't in my vocabulary for some reason. I thought I was pretty intelligent, but I didn't know that word. I wasn't that intelligent. In any event, my point is this. So I said, okay, sweetheart, we're going to pray and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to show us what this word is. Long story short, she went to bed. I got up in the morning to pray, and this word dropped in my heart and spirit. This is real deal. Do you not know he dropped the word in my spirit? And I got up, went to the puzzle, put all the letters in. I said, he revealed the word. That's simple, church. I'm saying that because I want to encourage you. Everything that concerns you, let the Holy Spirit in on it. He'll help you. There was another time when, real fast, I lost my wallet. And this person that stole my wallet took $900 out. He withdrew it from the bank. That's big. I was distressed, naturally. So I'm going to sick the Holy Spirit on him. I really didn't put it in those terms. I made it a little bit more spiritual. I'm going to sick the Holy Spirit. You know what I did? I prayed. I said, Lord, would you disturb this young man in his sleep? Don't let him sleep until he calls me. That, I said, but this was the kicker. This was the deal. I said, and if you do it, I'll witness to him. That's sweetened the deal, I think. Do you not know 2 days later, I got a call from this young man who was introducing himself. He didn't give me his name. He said, you're going to hate me. He said, I'm the one who took your wallet. I said, oh, God. Now, I share that, church, because, again, you know, the Lord, everything, say everything. Nothing is too trivial for you to offer and say, God, Holy Spirit, I need your help. But the scripture says that the Holy Spirit helps us pray the right things, the right way, the right time. Okay? Romans 8:25-27, the Message Bible. And please, theologians, don't call me. I know you don't like this Bible, but it's saying what I needed to say. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. Anyone ever been there? You don't know how to pray. You're in crisis. There's situations that are happening and occurring. You don't know what to say to the Lord or to the Holy Spirit. That's okay, because he said it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us. Isn't that good? Making prayer out of wordless sighs and our aching groans. He's making intercession for us with groanings that can't be uttered. Words that we've never heard before, but in the heavenly realm, God's ears can hear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't worry when you don't know what to pray, or you prayed the same thing and seemingly nothing is getting through. Turn it over to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit knows how to get a prayer through to the Father and to get a response from heaven. Now, we see this in Acts 9:17-18. Brother, would you come at this time to the keyboard? 9:17-18. We're talking about being led by the Spirit in prayer. Oh, he's already there. I figured so. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. We find in Acts and throughout the book of Acts, incredible moves of the Spirit. But he didn't move on his own. He moved, church, in partnership. It was with fallible people, men and women like you and me. Okay? That's how he moved. He wants to use my hands and my feet, but most importantly, he wants to use my heart to do great exploits. Great exploits in the world. It's not about me. Not about me, but it's about what our Father desires to accomplish. So he moved on Ananias. He said, Ananias, you're going to go pray for the man who has been killing my people. He's been slaughtering. And how did Ananias respond? In essence, no way, God, not me. Oh, no. No, 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 no. And he said, yes, 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 it's you. How many of you know when God taps you for something, he doesn't change his mind? Even if you don't feel you're the one, it doesn't matter to God. He said, you're the man, you're the woman. You're going to do it, and I'm going to help you do it. So after ministering to Ananias, Ananias went and said yes, laid hands on Saul. Saul received his sight, but more importantly, Saul was filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, this is my point here. Saul was released into his divine destiny because one man, Ananias, said yes. Think of that. Ananias said yes to the leading of the Holy Spirit, probably shaking in his boots. Felt that, Lord, I'm not the man, but nevertheless, I say yes. And let's see what you might do. And if I die, if I perish, like Esther said, if I perish, I perish. I'm going to see this killer of our people. And the Spirit had already been working on Saul. And as a result of his obedience, church, we have Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Corinthians. And look at that. One man said yes to the leading of the Spirit. What is the Spirit saying to you? That you're afraid to move out and take a risk and obey. But if you say yes, what might he do? For you, for your family, and for the nations. Amen. But then we have also Peter, the one who denied Christ. He's restored now, filled with the Holy Spirit. He's a changed man. No more looking back to the failures of the past. I'm filled with the Spirit now. The Spirit speaks to him, and still he's caught in his traditions. Jews didn't fellowship with Gentiles. So when he received this dream or vision, you know, he rejected it. These animals coming out, he said, no, I can't eat that. And there was this experience, this, you know, several experiences that he had with the Spirit. But this is the key. He said yes. He didn't know what he was saying yes to, but he said, number one, I'm not supposed to be going now fellowshipping with Gentiles. But the Holy Spirit said, that's where I'm going. So I say yes. So he gets there. What happens? He preaches the gospel to not only Cornelius, but his whole household. What happened? The Spirit of God comes down. They were filled with the Spirit. My point is this. He learned that Gentiles were included in the redemption plan. I'm standing here, you standing there, because Peter one day went to preach to Gentiles. And the nations have access to the salvation of the plan of redemption because one man said yes. One man said yes and opened the door to the nations. Amen. Now, my question to you in my closing is, what causes or beliefs have separated you from the people that God has called you to minister to? There are many causes out there, noble causes, good causes, but they're distracting you, they're preventing you, they're preventing us from hearing the voice of God and being obedient. The voice of God has said, I want you to minister to the nations. I want you to minister perhaps to people unlike you. They don't look like you. They don't do church like you. They don't believe like you. But the Lord said, I'm sending you to that person or to that people. Is that possible, church? Is that possible? He did it for Peter. Peter said, no, I can't go. Who have you judged? That person that you've judged, that the Lord said, that's the person I want to use you to minister to. Church, the most accurate barometer of your spiritual health is how well you love people, particularly those who are unlike you. Do you hear? It's love. I can speak in tongues. I can lay hands on the sick. I can have all revelation, all revelations. I can be wealthy. I can be a person of status. I can do all the nice, good, spiritual things, Pastor Melvin. But if it is not motivated in love, it profits me zero. So, church, as we endeavor to walk by the Spirit or live life by the Spirit, let us, one, listen for his voice. Let us submit to his leadings. Let us say yes and see what the Spirit desires to do in our age. How many of you know that God is moving by his Spirit even now in all the chaos? But God is wanting to anoint the church in a fresh new way. Amen. That we can be a voice in a land that's desperate for a word from the Lord. Would you stand with me, church?
Well, I hope that you enjoyed our sermon today. I hope that you were inspired and challenged. And maybe you have a question about something that you heard in the message today, or maybe you need prayer. We would love to take the time to pray with you and answer any questions that you might have. All you need to do is simply send us an email to online@newlife.global, and we would love to connect with you. Well, be sure to subscribe to our channel. You should see the link right over here somewhere, and turn those notifications on. That way you are notified every single time we go live on YouTube. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you on the next video. Take care.